Hello and welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thanks for listening. Today it's going to be Celebrate the Littles Day. The Littles, they kind of get overlooked. They are kind of analogous to maybe offensive linemen in football, maybe the catcher in softball or baseball. They probably have moments where they say, why did I choose this profession where people just keep hitting balls at me very, very hard? I'm just trying to defend myself. So, to talk about Shocker Volleyball and the Littles, we've got Lily Lickway and we've got Annalie Helesti. Did I say that?
Helesti.
I cannot get that right. It is now, it's now a thing in my brain. Helesti. They are two of the Wichita State Littles. They're here to get us ready for the final home weekend. Shockers, 18-9 overall. They are 12-6 in the American Athletic Conference. They play SMU on Wednesday at 7, Memphis at noon on Friday. Shockers have some things to play for. They're going to try to stay in third place in the conference, and they even have an outside chance moving into a tie for second place with Houston. So there are some things on the line this week for Shocker Volleyball. Annalie is a freshman from Cypress, Texas. Lily is a sophomore from Janesville, Iowa. So give us a view from the back row. Why has this team been successful this season? Annalie, you can start.
I think as Littles, we all kind of just came together and kind of decided we're just going to go for every ball and we're not going to let anything fall. And I think we all kind of feed off of each other with our energy.
Yeah, I mean, essentially we're like a little family. I mean, we all have the same job. We help each other out, just giving advice on the court, off the court, you know, just that relationship that we have together. It's awesome.
It seems like the blocking has been good and the blocking has got a lot of attention this year for the Shockers. Explain how the blockers in the back row work in unison.
The block is a huge help. when there's no block, essentially we're on our own. Yeah. So it's really nice to have the great blockers that we do have because we read everything off of them, where we're supposed to be, you know, even if they're late to something that puts us somewhere else. So we read pretty much everything off of the blockers.
I think one thing with blocking this year is, you know, we've only had two middles for most of the season, and so we've gotten really used to being and working around them, and I think they've been, both Natalie and Stout have been pretty consistent, so that helps us, especially back row.
How much of it is a scouting report and video review, and how much of it is we are observing and doing things on the fly?
We do scout and prepare a lot. We watch a lot of film and we do a lot of stuff to prepare before the games. But, I mean, what we scout for doesn't always happen, so you do have to be ready to make those changes. And I think Cincinnati, although we did fall short, we had three different defensives prepared for them. So depending on what they decided to do that day.
Yeah, I think it's really big as a Little. You have to be prepared to adjust. Not everything is a given. Like she said, like, we're given defenses, but that doesn't always work out for us. So especially mid-match, we have to be prepared to make adjustments based off coaching and what's happening with the other team.
And I know Chris Lamb at different points this season has said this team has learned as it's gone along. He's been able to do more, make more adjustments, add in more of the defenses. Tell us about that from your perspective. How has that changed from, you know, August, September to now? What are you able to do as far as, you know, playing, giving other teams more looks?
Right. I think, you know, we have me and Bryn, we're kind of like the older Littles, and then we have Annalie and Lara. This is our first year here, and we have Kylie as well. They're all catching on very, very fast, and just that experience and being in practice every day and communicating with each other has really helped them to come along and learn everything, so they are able to make those changes fast in the game.
Yeah, I know when I first got here, I was used to pretty much one defense and one defense only, and I think especially for Lara and I, we've gotten used to adjusting and doing what the coaches ask of us. It was definitely hard, I think, for both of us in the beginning just to get used to those defenses, but now as we've gone through games and we change our defense pretty much each game, we've gotten a lot better at that.
So opponents are hitting 189 against the Shockers, which is the third best in the American. Is that a stat that you look at and say that's an accurate measurement of how effective we're being?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, that's our blockers as well, and that's the Littles in the back row, and that's the setters doing their job, and it's all of us.
Yeah, it's kind of a combined effort. It's not just, oh, Lily digging all these balls or oh, Bryn digging all these balls. It's like she said, also blockers and setters playing defense. It's a combined group effort for sure.
So the Shockers are 18-9. They're off. They're going to hit every mark, being the best record since the 2017 team that went 20-0 in the American and hosted NCAA play. Kind of take us through the evolution of this team. When did you begin to think this team can do some good things? When did you really gain some confidence in how this season was going to go?
Mine was right at our first tournament. I believe it was Arkansas State, I want to say. You can just tell, like, this is, like, the first year that we've really, like, since I've been here, that I've really felt like we're a team, like, everybody's playing for each other. There's, like, no individuals on the court, and we all want the same goal. We all have each other's back. So it's been really awesome, I think, just having that team chemistry and just being a big family, like, really.
Yeah, I think definitely that first tournament was kind of putting the pieces together, and I think it was a struggle at the beginning because we didn't know exactly what the lineup would look like, so it was a lot of switching in and out. Mm-hmm. But I think that tournament was big growth for us. I think that first loss against Tulane was frustrating for all of us because I think we all knew we could do better and perform better, and I think that was a good – it was obviously not the best that we lost, but it was a good teaching moment for all of us, we knew.
That's kind of like the turning point of the season. That's when we started to be like, okay, hey, this is what we need to do, and it just all came from there. Yeah.
So the Shockers started 6-1, then lost five straight, started the conference play 0-3, and then there's the 8-match win streak that turned things in the right direction. Yeah, what turned things in the right direction? What kept this team from maybe going in a different direction?
As you can tell, like, from our last game against, like, ECU, you know, like, we went into the 30s. I think we have the grind and we don't give up. And I think when we did start to get that big win streak, it just started to click for us. Mm-hmm. We knew what we were doing. We knew what our jobs were. We started to mesh in the court.
Yeah, I think we all just kind of had a common goal. Those first couple of losses were, like, got us in the mood to, we know what we're doing. We have the individuals that can make us a really good team. So I think we just kind of stuck with what we were going with. We all had a team goal of just, we know what we're doing, you know? So I think that kind of got us going a little bit there.
Do you have a favorite match of the season? One that you think kind of exhibits peak Shocker volleyball?
Favorite match?
They're all just so close. You know, it's hard to decide.
That's the thing about our conference is, like, anybody can win on any night. I mean, you have UCF, who's probably the most dominant team. Well, they are the most dominant team. And then it's like you have everybody else. And it's like a dogfight for all of those teams. So we have to battle for each game. We can't take it easy on any game.
I know it ended up in a loss, but the game against UCF, we went to 5. I think that was all kind of, as a team, we're like, man, like, we can do this. Like, we could potentially take down or become first in this conference. So I know it ended in a loss, but I think it was a good game for sure.
And that was the last match of that 0-3 start, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
And then that was a Friday. You won on Sunday, and that's when you really kind of got things rolling. So, Lily, you have 28 aces. You rank second on the team, and the coaches told me you've really improved your serving. Take us through that a little bit. What did you do to become better back there?
Well, you know, we went home over the summer, and, you know, before we leave, you talk about goals and stuff that with the coaches, that things you just want to get better at, and table topping and serving was on my list. So I didn't really have a jump serve my first 2 years, so that's really what I've been working on. And then we've been doing a lot of serving passes right out practices and stuff, so it's just being consistent and doing it every day and working on it every day has helped a ton.
Okay, we have another little. Bryn Stansbury has joined us.
Hello.
We'll get you caught up in a couple questions. We've talked kind of big picture stuff. What's your view? What's kind of made this team click this season?
I think, like, from the start, I felt like we already had a better connection than we have had in the past. I think we had girls who just, like, truly loved being around each other and loved working together and loved making each other better. The competition in our gym is great this year. There's so many people that can play in so many different spots. And I think everyone's kind of fed off that competition in a good way. I think we've all encouraged each other. I think we've all helped each other out. So it's been so much fun to really get along with everyone and enjoy each other's presence, and even outside of volleyball, I feel like we're all good friends and we all want to hang out with each other. And if people need things, I think people are really quick to step up and help. So that's been really nice.
What was the point where you became pretty confident this team could do some good things? We'll see if your answer matches up with the other two.
I might have an interesting answer. I was going to say UCF. And the reason I say UCF is because I think from the other coaches in the conference, the other teams in the conference, maybe fans, maybe the media, I think people thought UCF was going to come in here and have an easy night. And I think we were coming off of conference losses, and we said, whatever, and we went in there, and we gave them a run for their money. And I don't think they were expecting it. I think we were ready to go. I think we were like, we're going in to win this thing. And I think that's when things really shifted for us, because I think that gave us confidence. I think that brought us closer as a team. I think other coaches and other teams in the conference started looking at us differently. And I think that was a night that really changed our season.
Okay, we got to that. UCF was definitely mentioned as part of it. Take us through what's going on in the back row as far as communication, leadership. How are you helping, you know, organize, direct, all that kind of stuff? What kind of things are going on? Maybe as the other team's getting ready to serve, what's your job?
A lot of talk does come out of the back row. I mean, especially when they throw bigs back there, or they'll throw in some DSs, and it's like the third set of the match. And so communication really is key. You know, you have to, like, we talk about servers, we talk about defense, we talk about blocking. So a lot of the communication really does come out of the back row.
Yeah, I think especially just going in there, you have to trust the people around you, and, you know, paying attention and scouting report is a pretty big thing, because if Lily's on a different page than I am, it's a big issue. So you kind of just all have to trust each other and know what your role is and kind of work with each other.
I would say going into trusting the scouting report, I mean, I think the coaches have done such a great job of, like, putting us in the right place that we need to be defensively to be successful. And I think when we are on the same page as them, and we're communicating with our front row, and we're communicating across the net, and we're communicating before points, I think that's when we're really successful. I think a lot of us, before every point, are looking over to know what defense we're going to play, what blocking play we're in, so that we know where we need to be, and then we're communicating that. So I think we've only gotten better at that since the beginning of the season, and I think that's really helped us be successful.
I would guess scouting reports get more detailed as you advance, you know, from high school, club, junior college to Wichita State. Give us a little description, you know, how that information is delivered and how you kind of take it in and put it to use out on the floor.
Well, it was a big change. I mean, before I got here, I mean, like, we scouted and stuff like that, but it was nothing like it. It is now, where we have, like, these big packets, and it's, like, different stuff on there, and, like, different little shapes and numbers, and so it's a lot when you first get here, it really is, but the more you do it, the more you learn, and the better you get at it, so.
Yeah, I remember my first, like, game, we were scouting on the road on a bus, and Lambo comes down, and he's, like, handing us all these packets, I look at it, and I'm like, this looks like a foreign language, like, I literally was so confused, but it definitely each scouting report got easier to understand, but yeah, it's definitely a big culture shock because I've pretty much only played one defense and one defense only, so getting used to those scouting reports.
So when you say one defense and one defense only, explain
so
the difference to those of us.
In the back row, each person has somewhere to go, and let's say I'm playing left back. Like, my whole life, I was trained to go one, like, in one spot. Like, this is where you go when you play left back, and this is where you go when you play middle back, and this is where you go play right back. And then from there, you just read the hitter. But these, like, coming here, you have different spots you're supposed to go and different, just whole different than it is.
We're everywhere.
Yeah. it's really based off of, let's say we're playing Cincinnati. It's based off of where Cincinnati likes to hit, so you'll be where you're supposed to be. And it makes it a lot easier. But, yeah, it was really different for me.
Yeah, Brynn, what's your experience with scouting reports?
Well, I would say, like, coming from Iowa Western to coming here, I think they're definitely different. I think at Iowa Western, it's a little bit, like, simplified. I think we, because sometimes at that level, like, you have a few people you need to worry about. And I think what I can hear, it was like every hitter was scouted. Whereas like before, I think we may have only had concern with like a couple people. And then other than that, like we just had keys to win or like what we needed to do. And I think here, I think I have learned so much because I have not only learned like what we need to do, but I've learned like what they're gonna do against us or like what they might switch up or like lineups. Like I had no idea how to read a spider web when I first got here.
Say that again.
A spider web.
Okay.
Lambeau gives us a spider web and it has so much information, like kill percentage, air percentage, everything. And I had no idea, like when I first saw that, I was like, what does this mean? And now I look at it and I'm like, we're gonna be worried about this girl, and this girl. And yeah. I think like we've all come so far with like a scouting report and it's just so helpful. I love that we're given a lot of information because I think that's better than not getting enough. So it's been very fun. And I think like the scouting report has just been interesting for all of us because we've all learned so much from it. And now we can almost look at it and be like, I know exactly what we're going to do against this girl. So
spiderweb, is that a common volleyball term or is that a Chris Lamb term?
Definitely a Chris Lamb.
For sure. Okay.
And that leads me into my next question because it probably took me 5 or 6 years of covering Wichita State volleyball. I just thought this was the way all college volleyball programs operated. No. And then I kind of figured out, well, no, it's not.
Definitely
is that
not
your experience also when you talk to other your friends who are playing college volleyball?
Oh, yeah.
They're kind of amazed at the different things that you do at Wichita State?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, every coach, like, they like to do things differently and they have their own ways of doing things. So it's just like, I mean, I think you talk to any other player and they're like, you guys do that? Well, we do this. You know, like,
yeah,
it's all different.
Yeah.
We just happen to have very, very creative coaches.
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
One thing that just absolutely I love and it just cracks me up about this program is that we have just so many different names for different things. And I don't even realize it, but sometimes when I'm like talking to my friends, like, for example, Lambeau invented the word tabletop. And like none of my friends, they're like, what's a tabletop? And I'm like, oh, like out of system or like a bump set.
Yeah.
And like everyone is like, what? And I'm just like, for us, that's just like everyone knows what it means.
I've had that same exact conversation before.
And it's just, I think it's cool because we all kind of have like our secret language over here, like what we know. So
man versus wild, is that still a drill that
volleyball
does? Okay, yeah, nobody else.
While,
yeah, that one's been a while.
I don't.
So you haven't been introduced to man versus wild?
I probably
wild?
Have, but
maybe,
not
maybe
enough.
Maybe just a couple times.
Yeah.
Man versus wild, that's a good one.
Okay, the success this season, how does it set up the Shockers for the spring and then next fall? Where do you see it, you know, helping out when you get back together in the fall?
Yeah, I mean, the spring, that's when we get all of our work done and really focus on the things that we all need to work on individually and together. So it's grind time in the spring, you know, we're working out hard and we're getting in the gym for a lot of hours, so.
I've never experienced a spring, so I'm pretty excited. I don't know what to expect, honestly, but I'm excited to, you know, work out with the girls and just gives us an opportunity to get closer off the court. So,
I think the spring is a great time for volleyball players just because there's so much time for you to work out and get in better shape, and there's so much more time for you to focus on, like, individual skills.
Mm-hmm.
That's really when I think, like, individuals on our team, like, really, really progress. And then as a whole, in the fall, you come back, and then it's just like a whole team success. So it's kind of a cool thing to see because people come back in the fall, and you're like, wow, like, they got so good in the spring. Like, oh my gosh, that looks so much different than last fall. And I think it just creates a whole team success. And I think the spring's really fun, honestly, in my opinion.
So we talked about how the littles are kind of easy to overlook. I guess the littles have developed a coping mechanism, the goggle squad. Take us through the goggle squad. How did this start? I guess that's the place to begin.
So it's a meme, but it's basically like kind of like you were saying, like the littles are overlooked a lot. Like kind of like the meme is like the littles are at the bottom of the pyramid. You know, then you have like the setters and then you have the hitters on top, you know. So we kind of created this thing, like, we have our goggles, and I don't know, maybe you can better explain this.
Well, sometimes we have, through this meme, we're like, we're at the bottom of the ocean here. So we decided, me and Lily, that we needed goggles. Well, it started out by, in practice, we would kind of look at each other and just, like, put on goggles. And we'd be like, Lily, just put your goggles on. Like, we got this. And
just helping each other, like,
yeah,
get through the day.
And then it kind of turned into, like, no, we, like, actually need some goggles. Like, we need goggles to represent this.
So we have goggles that we bring with us. They have to come to everything. So they travel with us, on the bench with us, they're wrapped around our water bottles. And so we've kind of created like this tradition. So like we just gave Kylie a pair of goggles at the beginning of the season, you know, because she's already been through a whole year with us and she's working hard and she deserves it. She's been doing awesome.
Yep.
So eventually like Annalie and Lara, like they'll most likely get there next year. But like it's just become like this cool tradition, like just working together through the grind and, you know, helping each other through it.
It's kind of been like a sense of relief too. I think like sometimes when you look at each other like, oh, we got our goggles, it's like kind of just like a sense of relief and like that we're not worried about anything or that we have each other's backs and
like a reset.
It is kind of like a reset, and I think it's really fun and it kind of brings some laughs sometimes too, because sometimes we might be like, well, we might need scuba gear today, or like it's been fun. So,
and they're just quite funny too. Like you sometimes you turn around and like Bryn's got her goggles on, you know.
It's been fun. I will always have them on my water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
So the goggles are something you earn by putting in the time, putting in the grind, good attitude, all that stuff.
Whole package.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very interesting. The goggle squad, that's good stuff. All right, let's wrap it up. Favorite Thanksgiving traditions in your family?
My mom makes this really good sweet potato casserole that the whole family loves. So I think she's bringing it down to Wichita.
Oh.
So I'm pretty excited about that.
Is this marshmallows on top?
No,
it
actually
seems to be
like the sweet potato layer at the bottom, and then there, I think there are pecans, and then like brown sugar. It's pretty good.
I think one of my favorite Thanksgiving traditions is, it's not going to happen this year because we're playing this week, but usually when we go to my grandparents' house, my grandma cooks everything except the pumpkin pie. My grandpa makes the pumpkin pie, and it's like the best pumpkin pie ever. Just always is.
Okay.
I would say my favorite Thanksgiving tradition is that we always go to my grandma's house. So this year, actually, a lot of my family's coming down, considering it's senior night, it's Thanksgiving. I think we're going to have like a little Thanksgiving here. We'd always eat a bunch of food, and then we'd bring out the shopping magazines and catalogs, and we'd go through and circle everything we wanted and cut everything out. And that night, we'd actually go Black Friday shopping. So that's something my family has always done. And lots of different pies, lots of different food, and it was just a really fun time for my family to get together. So
I'm glad you brought up senior night. Seniors have different coping mechanisms to get through this. You're looking at last, you know, thinking about the last practices, the last meal, all that kind of stuff. How are you thinking about it, approaching these two matches?
I definitely get emotional. I'm going to try not to get emotional right now. I think I'm just trying to take advantage of, like, every last opportunity. This last travel weekend, and I was like, well, this is my last one. Like, let's make it as good as we can. Like, at this point, I'm kind of like, let's just ball out. Let's just have fun. Let's not stress. Let's just play. And I'm so excited to enjoy it with my teammates. Wichita State's been great, and I'm sad to go. I don't want to go. So
different people in different sports have different feelings about running up that tunnel for the last time to go out there. Is that something that's hit you? Will you walk out there and try to just take it in, you know, make sure you're really savoring the moment?
Yeah, it's definitely going to hit me. I know that's going to be an emotional one, but it'll definitely hit me. That last starting lineup too, that one's probably going to get me. But last time watching the video, last time throwing the ball out, I think that'll get me, but I'm excited.
How many more questions do I have to ask to get some tears going? I'm trying to.
I don't know. I'm just so happy to be here. So just really trying to live it out. Don't want to leave my littles. Coaches have been great. I can't ask for any more out of my career. So.
And you walk away with a pair of goggles.
And I walk away with goggles, and that's all I need.
Excellent. All right. We've got the Shockers 7 o'clock Wednesday against SMU, Memphis at noon on Friday. Goggle Squad, thanks for giving me a few minutes. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.